Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Hi, welcome to the Rediscover Hour. I'm your guest host, Alyssa Bormas. I'm sitting in for Patrick Conley today, so thank you for the opportunity. You might know me. Some of my kids know me there at Chesterton Academy, studying away today without me, but I'll be there. And you may have read my book, The Catechism of Hockey, or seen me speak around town or work with WINE, Women in the New Evangelization, but so glad to be here today on the Rediscover Hour. We have a packed show, and we're going to be talking about the great Catholic parishes, which hopefully we have a whole ton of them here, a couple hundred in the Archdiocese. And we're going to begin with good friend, Crystal Crocker. She's the Director of Evangelization with the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. Crystal, how are you?
Oh, Alyssa, thank you so much. I'm great. On September 1, we're already in September, and it's a Friday. And not only is it's a Friday, but we are launching a new series called Great Catholic Parishes in the Office of Evangelization. You know, we have, like you said, about 180 plus parishes in our archdiocese. All of them are great. And so we are working with them because we want to share best practices and learn from each other, parish to parish and parishioner to parishioner, about what is really working, especially in the area of evangelization, and share these best practices with others.
You know, you just said the 14-letter word that nearly every Catholic is afraid of, evangelization.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes people think, evangelization, I didn't know I have to do that. Do we have to do it, Crystal?
Oh, my goodness, yes. And evangelization is, since I've been doing this work, I've noticed that some people get really concerned and fear hits their face, but they think they're going to have to go out in the street and start evangelizing. You know, there's so many aspects mm-hmm. of evangelization, and I really think if we look at it differently, that evangelization is mission. And we were all baptized into the mission of the Church, and it goes back to Jesus and the upper room with the apostles, right? So this is something we're supposed to do, and I think it's kind of natural that we get relaxed in what we're doing, especially maybe in parish life, and we start going into that maintenance mode. We've been kind of hearing some of these words out there, and we want to, you know, shift from maintenance to back to mission. And we have, like I said, we have some great things going on in our own archdiocese, in our own backyard. And what better way when we have this wonderful hour that Relevant Radio provides for our archdiocese, this Rediscover Hour. It's live every Friday, just to remind everyone, from 9 to 10. And there's a rebroadcast on Saturday at 6 p.m. and then again Sunday morning at 9. As well as on our website, rediscover-faith.org, they can go and listen to all of the Rediscover Hour shows, and I hope they do, and especially on the first Friday of every month, we are going to be featuring a new parish, or a parish that is doing great things. I'm going to come on a little bit later and talk some more about those great things. There's four essential practices that we are going to be featuring a book next week with the author, William Simon, called Great Catholic Parishes.
Perfect.
And so, yes, we have with us today St. Bartholomew's. And they are doing wonderful things there. I think what they are really showing and demonstrating is, of the four categories, is the first one is shared leadership. Shared leadership where pastors are so busy with parish life.
Mm-hmm.
And we really need good lay leaders. Of course, excellent parish staff is already there doing monumental work. But if there's good lay leadership that steps forward, and if you're thinking that, oh, I'm just a parishioner, what does this have to do with me?
Right.
As part of the mission, and our baptismal call, our parish is our family.
Yes, and that we have an obligation to be involved and to not just take from the parish, but to give.
Yes.
In every way. And I know we're going to be speaking about generosity later, but not even just in money, right. Generosity in everything.
And, you know, it's probably our time and talent that is maybe even more valuable than the money. Yes, the money is needed too, but we have so much to give. If you look at your own family and you didn't participate fully in the family life or make the family dinners or go to the family activities or do the hard work of cleaning the house and the laundry and driving the kids to the activities, if you didn't do that, the family would fall apart.
Right.
Well, the parish is a family.
A family.
It's almost even more important. We're all part of the body of Christ, right? And so I think we need to kind of shift our thinking about parish and parish life and get involved and be more mission oriented so that we can evangelize, not only going out and evangelizing, you know, evangelizing those are already in the church.
Amen. Well, I know you're going to join us later in the program, and you've really set this up because we have a parish that is starting, as you're saying, ignite your faith, you know, and to get going. And so I have a great guest on right now, Father Mike Van Sloan. He's the pastor at St. Bartholomew Catholic Church in, I forgot the city. It's not, Wayzata, I'm sorry. And then he used to be at St. Stephen in Anoka. You might know him from there. He was there for 12 years. He has a whole history of igniting the faith all over the place, with youth, with adults, all over. And so I'm going to bring him on right now. Father Van Sloan, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Alyssa. Thanks for having us on.
I'm so grateful that you're here. So what is Ignite Your Faith, and how did it begin?
Well, Ignite Your Faith is a spiritual initiative, and we really wanted to really, when you were speaking about loving Christ and prayer and all of that, we wanted to intensify that. So it began a year ago, actually. We had our pastor council retreat, and I was meeting with a psychologist who is like a consultant for our pastor council.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 years ago, we were reflecting on where is our parish right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we had just completed a capital campaign that went pretty well. We had a couple of problems that were going on in the parish, going pretty well. And so, how is your parish? It's going pretty well.
Yeah.
And that's a dangerous place.
Pretty well. That the complacency that happens with pretty well.
So one of the things that he said is that when you're okay, and you're okay for a week, and then a month, and then a year, and all of a sudden you have a routine, and then you have a rut.
Oh, exactly.
And a rut is not okay.
No.
So okay is not okay. We have to be dynamic in the way that we live out our faith.
That's fantastic. And so you've been doing this now really a couple years intentionally doing it. Not that you didn't do it before.
Right.
But really intentionally doing it. And what does that, maybe what's the mission that you are starting with, and how does it look?
Well, the mission is really, first of all, about Jesus, and we tried to identify this, and so many times people come and ask me, you know, and at the end of the day, what would you like your legacy to be?
Mm.
And sometimes people talk about building a church, building a school, retiring a debt, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And in my heart, if I got to have it be the way I'd like it, we led the people to Jesus, they have a stronger relationship with Christ, their faith is deeper, and their faith is more alive.
Yeah, and all those other things, building the church, building a school, eliminating debt, it all just happens when you do have people on fire for their faith.
Absolutely.
Because then they see that. That's the outpouring from that dynamic heart. That's fantastic. And the Holy Spirit obviously inspired you, and you were speaking about the gentleman, the psychologist that you were working with, but what was the big oomph that said, here we go?
Well, I just believe that the Holy Spirit is so alive and doing so many wonderful things. And the Holy Spirit uses a lot of different instruments. So at my previous parish, there was a mother in the parish. She was the mother of a priest in the Diocese of Duluth. And so she came upon this book, The Priest Is Not His Own, written by Fulton Sheen.
And Fulton Sheen, I mean, not so bad, right?
Oh, it's absolutely
fantastic,
fabulous.
Yeah.
And so she wanted her son to be a holier priest.
Oh.
And so then she thought, well, what other priests I know that should be holier?
Ah.
Which was quite funny, you know.
What a great question.
So she's bringing this book to me and saying, Father, you ought to read this. And so I do a little of my spiritual reading at night before I go to bed. And I'm reading this, and Fulton Sheen is saying, I'm amazed how at parish after parish, the energy they put into raising money.
Right.
Committees, pledge campaigns, all that sort of thing. And his regret is, why don't parishes put that same kind of energy into raising people's faith?
Amen. You know, I one of the things about Fulton Sheen that I heard on one of his programs, he talked about the youth, and I know this is a whole parish. You're not leaving out anyone, but one of the things about the youth today, I think, is that they don't have a story. They're not a part of it all. Mm. And Fulton Sheen talks about why kids love sports and those things so much, because it gives them something to die for,
right,
in a way that they'll go all in. Their whole life is in it. And that somehow we need to translate the faith so it's just as powerful, mm-hmm, as a sport. And then we're raising up holy people who will, again, the outcropping of them is they'll keep the dynamic parish going, raise up holy children themselves. How do you reach the youth?
How do we reach the youth? We try to reach the youth all of the ways that we try to reach everyone else. You know, so dynamic liturgy, mm-hmm, very personal programming, so that it's one-on-one, and having the kids,
yeah,
develop a positive youth culture. So
right,
we do lots of activities, lots of singing, and praying together.
Right. Now, I have a question about the people, as you're beginning this, bringing it to your parish, and the people who are just fine with, I'm just okay. Was that a shock to their system? And how did you sort of overcome this idea of, well, isn't just fine good enough, Father?
Well, it's funny that you say that. When I was visiting with the parishioners in the homilies about this, when does Jesus ever say that we're just fine?
Yeah, never. I don't think I see that.
So Jesus is always calling us to love him more,
yeah,
to follow him more closely, and we have, mm-hmm, a constant call to conversion.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to intensify our faith life, which is why Ignite Your Faith is about getting that light to be brighter,
mm-hmm,
and to show more brilliantly to other people. You know, mm-hmm, Crystal was talking about evangelization. The evangelization is in the way that we live our life and inspires other people.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that once you are on fire for anything, then you're able to evangelize. You can't even help it.
Right.
If I teach teenagers, and so when I'm trying to explain evangelization, I usually ask them, you know, I'm thinking about getting a new phone. Which one should I get? And the arms go up, and you got to get this phone or that phone, and this is the reason why. No, don't get that one. And they can't help but evangelize because they love technology.
Mm-hmm.
They can't help themselves. And the kids who are normally quiet can't help themselves. And so this getting a hold of the faith is you can't help yourself after a while. If someone put the fire in you, right?
Well, Jeremiah speaks about it. It's,
yeah,
just coming. St. Paul's spoken about it a,
right,
lot.
Right.
I can't contain it. I can't hold it in.
Exactly. Yes, maybe we all be that way.
Absolutely.
I remember coming back to the church. I was gone for 17 years. And when I came back to the church, I didn't even know the pastor's name. And I knew the associate pastor. He was the only one I ever talked to, and I rarely talked to him. But the faith grew in me, and this, I was never exactly quiet, but I chose to be quiet in the parish because I was so nervous about who I was,
mm-hmm,
the sinner coming home. You know, I was very nervous about being a sinner. Well, now I'm still a sinner, but I'm not nervous about it anymore because my faith has been put on fire. And I love what you're doing. So we know how it started. What happens as you're doing this? I know you have a number of books here with you, and they're integral to what you're doing. But what does it look like?
Well, it was great how it started, because when I spoke to the pastoral council about it,
mm-hmm,
as you said a second ago, they were all in.
Yeah.
The kids were all in. The pastoral council was all in. They said, we're absolutely going to do this.
Cool.
And so four of them stepped forward and said, we'll be a committee, and we'll take this forward.
Wow.
And so the kind of lay leadership that we have with it, and the lay drive, the inspiration that they have is wonderful. So Teresa, who we'll be visiting with a little bit.
Right.
She went out, and so she was familiar with Matthew Kelly's book, Rediscover Catholicism,
right,
because that's how we get the Rediscover Hour and the Rediscover emphasis and all,
yes,
of that. And so as she was reading around, she found another one of Matthew Kelly's books, The Four Signs of a Dynamic Catholic.
Yeah.
And so he had done great research on this.
It's amazing.
And so after surveying thousands of people, he came up with four things that are identifying traits. And she said that this would be a wonderful way to frame a spiritual campaign, which we all agreed to.
Okay, so tell us the four things, Father.
Well, the first one is prayer.
Yeah.
And dynamic Catholics pray, and they pray regularly. Mm-hmm. The second one is study. You can tell from all the books that that's an important thing.
Right.
You know, and we're going to be going into the generosity phase this fall. And then the last one would be evangelization and sharing your faith.
Mm. And, you know, study as well. I think sometimes people think, oh, I don't want another book to read. But as your faith is being lit on fire, you discover the treasure chest of the church. And I always say that this treasure chest is just waiting for you. And if you're into the pearls or the gold or something, go in for that. And that there's no end to the depth of the treasure chest. And it's exciting to read these things. And I remember reading a book once. I was in adoration. I know that, you know, there's sort of this unwritten rule, don't bother the other person in adoration. But we'd been adoration partners for years. And so all of a sudden I'm reading something and, Angela, I have to tell you this. And that's mm-hmm. the excitement
it
of
is.
Finding out what, just the simplest things. It's so beautiful. Okay, so we have the four things that make a dynamic Catholic,
mm-hmm.
the prayer, study, generosity, and evangelization. Now, how do we implement this? I know there's phases of your initiative, and what are you doing in these phases?
So we decided that we would take the four phases and give each of them a half a year. So it's going to be a two-year program. So the first 6 months was on prayer,
mm-hmm.
and then the second 6 months was on study. And so we're going to be moving, or actually next week, we're kicking off the third phase, which is the generosity phase. And then after the first of the year, we'll do the last part, evangelization.
Tell me about the 6 months of prayer and what that did in your parish as you really delved into prayer, studied about prayer, really, what did that do?
Well, I think it helped people understand how much they need to grow.
Yeah.
So if we were to ask, do you pray? And they'll say, I go to Mass on Sunday.
Yeah, right.
Do you pray? I say my meal prayers.
Right.
It's like, no, and a dynamic Catholic prays every day.
Every day, all the time.
And you reserve time, and mm-hmm. you set aside quiet time and a quiet space, and you have a routine.
Mm-hmm.
And Matthew Kelly talks about how important it is to get that there.
Mm-hmm.
And for some people who pray every day, it gets a little rote or in a rut,
right,
or mechanical.
Right.
And so how important it is to bring new life into your prayer life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so I'm thinking for people who their prayer life is, well, I go to church on Sunday, to sort of implement even a few of these things that they felt an aliveness that they hadn't felt in a while.
So one of the things that Matthew Kelly is so good about, what we tried to do was speak about different ways to do this, mm-hmm. praying with scripture, mm-hmm. Eucharistic adoration, contemplation, spiritual reading,
mm-hmm.
you know, sacred music, the list goes on and on, but to try and give people different ways to enliven their prayer life, they loved it.
That's so cool.
They just ate. People are so hungry.
Yes.
Because they've been advised over the years, pray more, but they didn't know how to do it.
That is so true, because we think, well, just pray more. It's so simple. Just do it. But we don't tell anyone how.
Right.
One of the things, I'm not a morning person, Father. It's a confession right now, except for a few people are hearing us. And so whenever I hear someone say, well, you got to get on your knees first thing in the morning, I'm like, well, if I did that, I'd have to call 911. But I really have a hard time praying in the morning. So it's usually when the water of the shower is running over me that I just say, I will serve you. And I think one of the things, too, is these short little prayers to sort of give people, you're not a morning person. I'm never going to have a big morning prayer routine.
Mm-hmm.
My prayer routine is, I will serve you, and what will you have me do?
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
My mother taught me about first thing in the morning, let's have God be the first thought of the day.
Yeah.
And do a morning offering every morning.
That's my morning offering.
So now I do the morning offering, and then I actually, when I get up, I do a list of thank yous. Right at the top of the day.
Father Van Sloan, do you remember Bishop Paul Dudley?
I do. I know him.
He's my spiritual father. Without him, I wouldn't be here, no doubt about it.
What a holy man.
I love him. And one of the things he taught me about is in adoration, the three T's, thank you. For mm-hmm. 20 minutes, say thank you. Then for 20 minutes, say teach me. Teach me what, in 20 minutes to teach me, and 20 minutes of turnover. I have this thing in my life. I'm going to turn it over to you. I have this thing that bothers me. I'm going to turn it over. This relationship is rough. I'm going to turn it over to you. And I think the gratitude, I never have forgotten that. And to be grateful, it changes everything.
It does.
Oh, it's fantastic. Okay, I know we're going to head to the end of our part, but we have a few more questions here. So what kinds of events are you holding in your parish to kick this off? I know you said you've had 6-month events, but now you're going to enter into the generosity, but there must be, how are you bringing this?
So the way we bring it is that at the beginning of each section, we dedicate a kickoff Sunday to the
nice.
Section. And so I will preach the homily about it. And so we'll take the key points in Matthew Kelly's chapter
right.
and try and present that in a really easy to understand way.
Nice.
And then myself and the members of our team, we write a number of bulletin articles, and then we bring in outside speakers.
Great. I see something here called e-flames.
E-flames.
I have no idea what that is. I've never heard the term.
So it's an email.
Oh,
so we gather parishioners' emails that would like to do this. And so the E-Flame is intended to help you fire up about this campaign.
I love it. Ignite the faith or ignite your faith.
So we have a number of them that will write reflections and, you know, announce the upcoming programming and invite them to the speakers and anything else that's going on around the campaign or the initiative.
Nice. That's fantastic. And you even have a T-shirt.
We do.
I mean, it's got to be official if you have a T-shirt, Ignite Your Faith. That's fantastic.
And it's got the nice flame right on it.
It does have the flame and the Holy Spirit. I mean, That's the thing, too, is to constantly be calling on that Holy Spirit to help you out. And he doesn't disappoint.
Ever.
Ever. Every time I call on him, he's doing some work. All right. So most exciting, most rewarding, what's happened so far that you just are blown away about?
Well, one of the things that Matthew Kelly talks about is trying to measure our progress.
Mm.
And so we kind of been doing pre-test, post-test.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how would you rate yourself in prayer before
right.
we start? How would you rate yourself in prayer afterwards?
Cool.
And when we took the numbers, I mean, the parishioners just overwhelmingly reported progress.
Isn't that beautiful?
So we're making spiritual headway.
How, as a priest, what does that do for your priesthood when you find out your parishioners are praying more?
Oh, what it means to the life of the parish, the whole fabric of how people live out their faith day by day with their family, because the house is... The family is the house church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the parish mm-hmm. is there to support the house church.
Right.
And so how you live out your faith in your daily life, if that becomes more dynamic, more alive, that just gives me great joy.
I'm thinking that this is then overflowing in other places, attendance at Mass or even attendance people coming to confession. Maybe you're in the box longer or just the deeper part of it.
Well, all of those things have happened.
Yeah.
Our mass attendance, I think, is up, and the number of people who approach the Sacrament of Reconciliation is up. So we have reconciliation days, and I have to bring more priests now.
Yay. Yay. Bravo. Go Jesus, right?
Yeah, it is.
It's so cool. And that, you know, this reconciliation is sort of the forgotten sacrament, I think. And to anyone listening, go, right?
Right.
Unburden yourself. There's no reason to carry baggage around.
And so we try and catechize about it more.
Yay,
teach
amen.
More about it so that when people understand the great value,
mm-hmm.
you know, what Jesus did when he went to the cross.
Right.
And what the shedding of his blood means to our spiritual life and how much he wants to bring us back.
Amen. He does. I'm going right back to Bishop Paul Dudley.
Mm-hmm.
When I went to him for my first adult confession, and it was 17 years and that had been away, and he said, Alyssa, imagine the rejoicing in heaven today for one sinner coming mm-hmm. home. And then he said another thing as I was leaving him, Alyssa, God has forgiven you. Now go home and do the hard work of forgiving yourself. Isn't that beautiful?
It's very beautiful.
And he was, I think of your Ignite Your Faith T-shirt here. I feel like that was his whole being, was Ignite Your Faith.
Well, he was on fire for the Lord.
He was. He was just wildly on fire. Well, any challenges so far? Or is it smooth sailing or is there bumps?
Well, there's always challenges. So for the many people who participate, there are some that are kind of on the fringe
right.
that we would like to try and invite in.
Mm-hmm.
So we're always trying to find ways to reach those who are not participating or uninvolved.
I love the word you just said, inviting, that there's always an invitation. I think that what must be one of the most important parts of what you're doing is that invitation.
Well, Jesus was about inviting.
And if you get turned down, just invite him again.
That's correct.
Yeah, amen. That's fantastic. Now, I know we spoke earlier about shared leadership and that you have some of your parish leaders here with you. I'd love to speak with them. Is that fine with you?
Oh, it's fantastic. You'll enjoy them. They're great leaders at our parish, and they're a great blessing to us.
Well, it's been a joy to speak with you. I've never met you before, and now I feel like we're old friends. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. We were speaking with Father Van Sloan. He's the pastor of St. Bartholomew Catholic Church in Wayzata. You might have known him again from St. Stephen in Anoka. He was there for 12 years as well. So now I'm going to be speaking with Janelle Sella and Teresa Litvin-Wertz. Did I say it right? I hope I did. I got it right. Fantastic. You've implemented or helping to implement what Father is doing. How did you say yes to this?
Well, as Father Mike said, this all started at our retreat 2 years ago for our parish council. And we heard his message. He really kind of challenged us. We felt things were going pretty good until we heard the message about okay is not okay.
Yeah.
And I mean, everybody in that room decided that this would be our mission. And we did craft a mission statement that said we wanted to support individual faith growth within our parish. So we spent the next, I'd say, 3 to 4 council meetings brainstorming about what this meant. How did we take this mission statement we created and really bring it to life?
Right.
And we, you know, we kind of took the approach of a strategic plan and decided we needed to get more input. So we held a half-day session with our commission and committee members to really kind of get input about individual growths, their individual faith journeys. So anyway, then Teresa had suggested we read this book, and the minute I read it, I knew we had found our framework, the 4 signs with phases for each sign. And so we decided this really needed a more concentrated effort other than this, you know, extended parish council.
Right.
So I was chair of council, had been leading brainstorming. So it was just an immediate reaction for me that I wanted to continue this.
It's so amazing because so many times things just sit in the committee.
Mm-hmm.
We had a great idea, and now we're going to just let it sit there until we forget about it.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And so that you implemented it. And you're saying you just saw it and had to run.
Absolutely. And then the 3, Teresa, Shelley Dow, and Art Carney, immediately volunteered too. And I looked around and went, this is going to be good.
Oh.
This is a great team. And
you have a dynamic team.
It has been. We all have different skills and talents. And it has just, it's been one of the most rewarding things that I've worked on in my life.
So, Teresa, were you, did Janelle bring you in? Or how did you hear about it exactly that you jumped in?
Well, I was in those meetings as well, and I always kind of thought, okay, there's got to be a reason that the Holy Spirit put me on the council.
Right.
It's a 3-year term, and I was kind of just waiting for that to be revealed. So when I saw, when this came up in the spiritual campaign and as it started to form, I just got super excited too, and I thought, this is where I'm called to volunteer.
Amen. It's so fantastic. And I would say even it's not so much a volunteer as you're a missionary in a sense, or a disciple, a discipleship.
It feels that way. True. It does.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And so your current theme, let me ask you about the past themes, the prayer and study, right? Prayer, study, generosity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
And so just briefly, as you're introducing this to the parish, this shared leadership you're taking part in, I talked a little bit about it with Father, but what was your feeling from the parish? Did they look at you like, you might be crazy, we're doing just fine? Or were they more ready? Maybe they tell Father one thing because he's Father.
Well, when we handed out, one of the first steps then for our kickoff weekend was to hand out a copy of the 4 signs of a dynamic Catholic to every household,
right,
everyone that came to Mass that weekend. And people, I thought, everyone we saw was just very excited because we had just come off of a 3-year financial campaign to retire our debt, which we did, which is wonderful.
That's amazing.
And people were just ready for something. Let's do something, you know, for God and building our relationship with Jesus. And so this, it just seemed to be all the right pieces were fitting together. So everyone we talked to was super excited and was
that
on board.
Great. And now you've had the prayer, the study, and now speak about generosity and why that stacks perfectly on top and how you're going to open generosity.
I'm really excited about this phase. And I have to say, it's one that we spun our wheels on for a while. We've been working on this, you know, planning for it for about 6 months now. And as Father Mike said, we're kicking off next weekend. We have sort of a general framework that we've been following for each phase, which is a kickoff weekend. We have a speaker. We plan events. And some sort of different giveaways to really support the theme. And we weren't coming up with a book or a speaker. I couldn't find anything suitable. And I had searched and searched, and I was getting ready for a meeting, and we still had nothing. And I did a search again using, I swear, the same search words I had been using. And a book pops up called Ignite Your Generosity.
Wow. And your whole campaign, Ignite Your Faith.
And nothing fell into place. We ordered a copy of the book. I called the publisher and said, do you have contact information for the author? I have been in communication with him. He's coming to speak at our church October 7th, 8th, and we'll do a workshop. And he had the message we wanted to convey about generosity, which is, you know, we all know about time and talent and treasure and sharing that, but I think it's more than that. It's not single acts. It is a journey and a whole different way of life. And he speaks it, he lives it, he has examples, he has tools. So,
well, as you're speaking, I'm thinking that it might not just be only your parish. Are you inviting other people?
Absolutely. Yes. I was hoping we had a chance to say that we love visitors at St. Bartholomew. Cool. It is completely open. It's free. There's no registration required. You can find information on our website, but it's Sunday evening, October 8th.
That sounds magnificent.
We love to have visitors come.
That sounds magnificent. O'clock. And the idea of generosity, you know, my parents, I suppose, tried to instill in us, the children, eight of us, that generosity should be a default position. And sometimes I am a tremendous failure. But then the other thing you can find is how easy it is sometimes to be generous. Just that yes. And the yes, okay, I'll just do it. And then it doesn't haunt me.
It's a way of life. It just becomes natural. There was a quote from dynamic Catholic Dr. Alan Hunt that just struck me, and it does every time I read it. You know, he says, the size of your giving is not measured by how much you give, but by how much is left over after you give. You know, that shakes me to the core. You know, I think I'm doing a great job with my generosity, and then I read that and go, oh, there's just so much more to give in terms of resources and time.
For certain. We have so many blessings living where we live. We live in a great country. We have so many blessings.
Right.
And we really do have so much to give, just daily, of not just time, talent, and treasure, but just digging into those things.
Right.
And all right, perfect. And now, how do you get the family involved in the generosity?
So one of our fun events or plans that we have is something called the 8-week generosity challenge. And so it'll be for everyone in the parish, but there will definitely be some good aspects for families, especially with small children, to get involved. So how it's going to work is we're going to have a little coupon booklet that we'll pass out to every individual on a weekend of masses. And every week there'll be a different theme showcasing how they can be generous. So, you know, it'll be like being generous with your words and praise, you know, with your family, community, globally, with your time. So each week that focus will change, and we'll give them three different ideas of what they could do either by themselves or with their family members. And then at the end when they, or they can choose something on their own too and fill it in the blank. So then they tear off that perforated page and bring it to Mass that next weekend, and we'll start collecting them in a kind of grow your ignite your flame and faith through watching those cards grow.
So the other parishioners then can see the work that worked for me 1 week and maybe be ignited by that as well, seeing, wow, this is working, things are happening.
Yes, we definitely try to get people's feedback and whenever anyone wants to share, you know, we've put that on the e-flames and in our bulletin and in our quarterly reflections newsletter. So we try to get input in what's working for folks and how is it touching them.
Yeah. Have you had, between the two of you, Janelle or Teresa, just something in this past year that just floored you with a family that's taken this on and came and told you about it?
There have been several things that have really struck me. In some of our activities, we do book discussions, we do other educational events, and a lot of them involve sitting in small groups and doing some mm-hmm. sharing and exchanging. Mm-hmm. And there have been people who have said, you know, I'm kind of shy about my faith. I haven't, mm-hmm. you know, but here is the impact it's had on me. You know, I am, you know, involved with my teenage son now, and he's coming to church, and you know, the life-changing impact it's had. You know, we wow. just hear little bits and mm-hmm. pieces of stories, but even a handful of those have right. been just really rewarding, you know, right. for me personally to be involved.
It's so beautiful. Tell us again, the kickoff weekend for the generosity part is next weekend.
Correct.
And then it's October 7th?
Yep, the 8th. I think the Sunday, I believe okay. that's October 8th. That evening at 7 p.m. is okay. our guest speaker. I've come to know him via phone and email, right. and I am so excited for what he'll bring with example and
That is fantastic. Resources. What a joy to have you on today. Thank you for joining us. We're
it's
going
been a
to
pleasure.
Take. Oh, and I want to sneak over to St. Bartholomew for this speaker.
Come
we'll,
good.
We'll join you back after this break. You'll be back with Rediscover Hour.
Rediscover.
Now more than ever, people value good service, dependability, and trust in a job done right. That's exactly what you'll get from the Auto Glass Installed Company in the Twin Cities.
I'm Nancy Jasperson, along with my husband Michael and my daughter Brandy. We'd like to thank Relevant Radio listeners for making the Auto Glass Installed Company their choice for glass replacement and repair on their vehicles. We've met the nicest people who have heard our ads and tried our quick and complete windshield service. Not only do we service your SUVs, minivans, cars, and trucks, but also street rods and classic cars. I hope the next time you or someone you know needs a chip repair or windshield replace, you'll give us a try. The Auto Glass Installed Company, 763-274-0177.
Your windshield repair can be done this week at your home or office by a trusted Relevant Radio sponsor, the Auto Glass Installed Company. Call 763-274-0177 or relevantradio.com, keyword glass.
I want to wake up. Shades up, pull the sun from the sky, step out in faith and step into something new, see what awaits.
Hi, welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Alyssa Bormas, your guest host today, sitting in for Patrick Conley. We've been having a great time with our guests, Father Van Sloan, Janelle Sella, and Teresa Litvin-Wertz. And then we're going to welcome back now Crystal Crocker. She is the Director of Evangelization at the Archdiocese, and she's a great friend of mine. Crystal, welcome back.
Gosh, thanks, Alyssa. Yeah, back at you. Great friend. Thank you so much for sitting in today for Patrick, who is on retreat. We all need a retreat, right?
Absolutely.
but I am so pleased with the launch today of our new series that is for parish resources called The Great Catholic Parishes. And our office has been working to, as we go out and meet with parishes, we are always asking and listening, what are you doing to evangelize? And how are you helping those to become disciples in your church? You know, we've been hearing a lot from Pope Francis about missionary discipleship yeah. and evangelization. And we were talking before that evangelization is like a
14-letter word that every Catholic's afraid of. Well, not every, but, you know, yeah we get nervous about it.
Yeah.
But then, you know, just listening to Father Van Sloan and Teresa and Janelle from St. Bartholomew and what they've implemented there and how it's taken off.
Yeah.
And I love what you're saying is that with the great parishes, you're trying to take the best practices
yeah.
and help So not every parish needs to reinvent the wheel.
Right. And not every parish needs to reinvent the wheel. And we have a large archdiocese.
Yes.
And we 180 parishes, well, plus, and excellent Catholic schools and wonderful pastors. And so there's so much that we can do to share. And I was thinking about this. Here we have this wonderful opportunity once a week to share on air on 1330, you know, Relevant Radio 1330, and this 1 hour a week that we could share what is actually going on evangelization-wise in the parishes. And so my team in our office was getting together, meeting, and thinking about this. And we decided to use our website, use what we have, right? Use our resources. So we have rediscover-faith.org is our website for the Office of Evangelization at the Archdiocese. So if you haven't been there yet, I encourage everyone to check it out because we have a lot of resources there. We're just trying to build a parish resource website where we can help serve and support the parishes, the pastor and the parishes, because they're the boots on the ground. They're doing the work of evangelization and forming disciples. And I keep saying that because it is our mission as church. And I think we can't say it enough to remind ourselves that this is our purpose. This is what Jesus came and gave us the church so that we could go out and make Jesus known and loved in the world.
Yeah. You know, just the other day, we started at Chesterton Academy. We already started classes. And so I was in my freshman class, and they were talking about, I don't know, somehow it came up, well, what if the Pope came to school?
Yeah.
Well, that would be cool.
Cool.
And I said, but how would you ever, you know, what would you do? How would we get him here?
Yeah.
And I was looking for the word you just said, the invitation.
Yes.
That we have to invite. And sometimes, well, he'd never come. And I said, well, you don't actually know that until you give the invitation.
Right.
Now, hopefully one of the kids will take it under the wing, and we could have him here in the Twin Cities. It'd be great.
Oh, it would be.
But
it would be.
That invitation is such an important part of everything. And it's invite. I think it was Janelle saying earlier about a mother and her son, that she invited him closer, and her teenage son.
Yeah.
Invitation doesn't have to go very far from and just be right in your home.
Well, right in your home. Yeah. And, you know, we have homes that should be domestic churches, too.
Yes.
I mean, this is as a life of a Catholic, a life of a missionary disciple, that we live our faith, whether we are not just on Sunday.
No, more than that.
Yeah, but we build homes that are domestic churches where they're filled with Catholic culture.
Yes.
Where we don't always have to speak about it. We just live it. We see it with the crucifix on the wall and the picture of Mary and the Sacred Heart and Immaculate Heart that are there as statues and artwork in our home, and prayer, rosaries. These are things that just should be part of the home. Scripture, Bibles, you know, that should be.
And feast days, you know, that really a feast day should be a feast day.
Yes.
And make it a great day in your home.
The Catholics celebrate all the time.
All the time.
It's so fun.
I know.
But speaking about Pope Francis, I'd like to come back to that because we're going to dedicate the first Friday of every month on the Rediscover Hour for parishes that are doing great things, and they're doing mission work out there to make Jesus known and loved in the world. And so if you are a parishioner of a great parish doing great things, and because we're all great, but we'd like to hear about some of those specific things that are bringing the mission and evangelization to the church. And we will put you on air, or let's have a conversation about it and see how we can share these best practices with others. And then we have the website, rediscover-faith.org /parish resources, or look for the Great Catholic Parishes tab and click on that. You're going to find Ignite is there with their information and their contact information. They've agreed to take calls from you if you want to find out more about what they're doing and learn from them. And we have others in our lineup. I think we have about 7 lined up ready to go, and we want to get more because we know there are more things being done out there, great things that are being done.
And if you loved what you heard from Father Van Sloan and the ladies that were here, that you don't have to start that on your own.
Yes.
They'll help you.
Right.
The people who are doing it right now will help you out through this website.
Through the website?
Rediscover-help-me-out.
Yep, rediscover-faith.org. And there is also on our website, there is a tab for the Rediscover Hour where you can click on it and you can listen. If you want to share this information with a friend that didn't catch the show today or the rebroadcast on Saturday at 6 p.m. or the rebroadcast on Sunday morning at 9, I'm putting a plug in there. But we also have it on our website that you can go back and listen to. All the shows are archived there. But one of the things that I want to share is next week we have the author. So I didn't realize there was a book called Great Catholic Parishes. It's one of those providential things. Yeah. God and the Holy Spirit inspired us to start doing this resource. Well, it's already been done on a national level. And we called this gentleman up, William Simon. He's out in California. And he has a book called Great Catholic Parishes, How Four Essential Practices Make Them Thrive. And we're going to put that out in emails and on our website, that book as well. And you could certainly pick it up and read it for yourself. It is a book about, he's surveyed 244 exceptional pastors and parishes and that are really excelling in evangelization, but also these four categories of shared leadership, maturity and plan for discipleship, spiritual maturity and plan for discipleship, this excel that they excel on the Sundays, that Sunday experience, and also evangelization, those four categories. And we're going to explore that more next week with the author, Bill Simon of Great Catholic Parishes.
I love the idea of spiritual maturity. I never heard that until Benedict said it, and it was the homily before he was elected.
Oh.
It was the, John Paul II had died. The cardinals were just ready to go into the conclave, and Benedict had that mass and talked about spiritual maturity. And it's so important that I'm not just called to go to mass on Sunday.
Right.
I'm called to live every day out.
Every day.
And for Christ.
And we can look to Pope Francis, too. He's modeling this for us.
Yes.
Missionary discipleship. Go out.
Yeah.
And go outside of ourselves. Certainly, we need to spend time in prayer and silence and that develop that encounter and relationship with Jesus so that we can then go out and speak about it. It becomes the fabric of our life that it's so natural we don't even realize it's happening.
Yeah. And as I was saying earlier, the evangelization.
Yeah.
That kids are ready to evangelize if it's technology.
Yeah.
And so we just have to give them the faith.
Yes.
So they can do that as well, and adults as well.
Yeah.
And that you can't help yourself.
Right.
And then I think of Francis as well, that he is so willing to go out to the people who no one seems to want to go out to.
Yeah.
And that...
Going to the peripheries.
Yeah.
Going to the peripheries. And I had in a conversation recently was talking about going out to the peripheries is a scary thing, you know, and especially Minnesotans maybe.
Yeah, right.
And not to pick on us, but we sometimes don't want to go outside of our comfort zone.
Right.
But if we realize and sit and meditate that there are peripheries in our own heart.
Amen.
You know, there are wounds or maybe areas of loneliness or shame, or even areas where there's joy that we aren't letting brim out and, you know, bubble over and share with others. So that as I pray and think about these things in my own life, I understand the real live periphery that's out there, that is the people that are alone, that just, you know, need that relationship. Maybe somebody even in our parish that is down or sad, and we can step up and say, hey, let me give you a hug today.
Right. Simple.
Yes. And I just think as we are being more intentional in our own prayer life and ourselves, that the Holy Spirit, Jesus is going to send the Holy Spirit.
Well, and the one of the things, too, is we go out. You're talking about the wounds that we all have. As we go out and serve others or be gracious to others, invite others, evangelize to others, it heals those wounds.
Oh, yes, the healer.
Yeah.
He is always ready to heal and give mercy and grace.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's his mother. Mm-hmm. So one final thing, and it's in our calendar items, but an archbishop is going to be, Archbishop Hebda is going to be on next week. We're so blessed. But he is going to be consecrating our archdiocese to the Immaculate Heart of Mary on October 13th at a cathedral mass. And we invite everyone to sign on to emails from our Office of Evangelization. Go on rediscover-faith.org to learn more about this consecration. And our office is inviting everyone to participate in 33 Days of Morning Glory. It's a book by Father Gately. You can get it at your local Catholic bookstore. 33 Days of Morning Glory. Wouldn't it be awesome if everyone, one giant archdiocesan family, we get together and celebrate and pray together 33 days to prepare ourselves. And if you've already consecrated yourself, we can reconsecrate ourselves.
Do it again.
Always need to be reverting, reconverting our hearts to Mary and to our Lord.
And what a transformation that'll be for our whole archdiocese.
Oh, so exciting.
And there it is, that ignite your faith, you know, that going back to that and the great parishes, all of it tied in together.
It's an exciting time.
It's a giant fire.
Oh, I feel the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Alyssa.
That's fantastic. Well, we've had just a marvelous day here. We're just about ready to go to break, but then we'll be back to let you know more about what's going on in the archdiocese. With the 33 Days to Morning Glory, the great parishes, and everything else.
Hello, this is Bill Lemire, Director of Advancement for the Labouré Society. Did you know that thousands of men and women discerning a vocation to priesthood or religious life are being turned away from seminaries and religious communities because they have student loan debt? The communities simply cannot absorb that debt. So at a time when the church desperately needs more priests and religious, student loan debt is preventing them from saying yes to God's call. You might ask, what can faithful Catholics do? You can help us rescue vocations.
Labouré has delivered hundreds of men and women into religious formation by teaching them a Catholic fundraising model. Through Labouré's program, vocation candidates have erased significant student loan debt in months rather than years, rescuing vocations the church would have lost forever. Invest in Labouré's program and leave an eternal legacy to the church of great numbers of Catholic priests and religious. Visit LabouréSociety.org today.
Hi, welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm your guest host, Alyssa Bormas, and I'm always here with Paul Sadek. Paul, what's going on in the Archdiocese?
Oh, tons of things.
All right.
You can be part of the new evangelization in our Archdiocese by proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Sign up to join in the mission by sending the text message PROCLAIMING to 84576 or go to rediscover-faith.org. Sign up for evangelization updates.
Archbishop Hebda and Bishop Cousins invite you to join in our Archdiocesan Marian Consecration. In preparation for the consecration, Father Michael Gately's 33 Days to Morning Glory is recommended and should begin by Sunday, September 10th. The fulfillment of this consecration will take place on Friday, October 13th, the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima. Archbishop Hebda will conclude this consecration by celebrating Mass at the Cathedral of St. Paul at 5:15 p.m.
Do you want to learn more about Catholic social teaching? How do we evaluate whether our political, economic, and social choices conform to the Gospels? Join the Church of the Blessed Sacrament in East St. Paul for this 12-week series. Starting at 6:30 p.m. Thursday, September 21st, we'll embark on a journey to better understand the fundamentals of the social doctrine of the Church and learn how we can apply these important teachings in today's challenging world. Space is limited. Registration ends September 11th. Find out more. Visit blessedsacramentsp.org or email jmhoffman@blessedsacramentsp.org.
Men are invited to the Catholic Watchman Rally on Tuesday, September 12th from 6:30 to 9 p.m. at St. John the Baptist Catholic Church in New Brighton. Bishop Andrew Cousins will speak on the devotion to Mary and diligence in battle. This Catholic Watchman rally is an opportunity for men to draw closer to Jesus Christ and invest in fellowship with other men. There'll be a time for adoration and confession, and dinner will be provided. Registration is not required, but a free will offering will be collected. For more information, go to thecatholicwatchman.org or check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/thecatholicwatchman.
Father John Eckert will be leading a 6-week fall Bible study on the Gospel of John, the Beloved Apostle. The study will take place at Holy Spirit Catholic Church in St. Paul, Wednesday evening, September 13th through October 18th, 7 to 8:30 p.m. Cost is just $20 per person. That includes materials. To register, visit the events page at rediscover-faith.org.
Young women between the ages of 21 and 29 are invited to come hear the mission of Behold, a mission to help each young woman recognize the gift she is, realize the gift she's been given, and give to the world the gifts that only she can give. This 8-week series will take place from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at Our Lady of Grace in Edina, starting Thursday, September 28th. The series will include time for fellowship with other young women, adult women, a Eucharistic adoration, awesome presentations from our Behold speaker team, and time for question and answer and small group discussion. To find out more and to register, visit the events page at rediscover-faith.org.
Just enough time to tell us what's coming up next week.
Well, next week you have to join us because we're going to be talking about the upcoming Archdiocesan Youth Day. We'll be joined by Catholic Youth Minister Pat Millay, as well as Youth Ministry Coordinator Alex Schindler. And we're going to talk about The Great Catholic Parishes by William Simon. And then again about Archbishop Hebda, 33 Days to Morning Glory by Father Michael Gately. Well, welcome
next week. The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.